Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from FanRagSports.com and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Jerick McKinnon-less Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Trevor, what's the mood like in Tampa? The lack of free agent moves seems to have the people a bit restless.
Full-blown panic. Full-blown. And, like, it's not even from today. Just like the second the first domino fell from like the tampering period, full panic. It's been incredible.
Who have been the players that most Bucs fans really wanted to see happen and thought there was a chance to see happen and then just totally had their hopes dashed?
Actually, I mean, like, I think it started last week when Michael Bennett and Robert Quinn got moved and the Bucs couldn't get either of them. Yeah. And then obviously when Talib and Peters got moved and the Bucs didn't get either of those. When they found out they weren't going to get Richard Sherman, when they realized the running backs are asking for a fortune and somehow teams are paying them, they wanted Norwell the guard, which, oh, I mean, that price tag was also absurd for him.
But he's freaking good, so at least.
No, I know he is, but, like, the Bucs just were never going to spend that. And so
have a ton of cap space? They have, like, fifth most amount of cap space.
Yeah, but I keep telling people this. The Bucs don't operate, and look, they're a losing team, so maybe this is just like the totally wrong way. I'm just telling you the way that it is. The Bucs don't have, like, if they had $70 million to spend in free agency, they weren't actually going to spend all that $70 million, especially just on free agents. They were going to spend like 40 of it. So they have like $48, $49 million right now, and they're not going to go lower than $25 million. Because they're going to re-sign Quan Alexander, they're going to re-sign Ali Marpet, they're going to have to re-sign Jameis Winston in 2 years. Like, all of that stuff is coming. So the Bucs aren't going to get anywhere near the cap floor. So that's why fans are pissed.
I can tell you because that is the wrong way to go about it. They got to bring in talent, man. They got so many holes. It's crazy. How have they not made a deal for Vinny Curry? Get that guy on your team. I mean, I know he's a cap hit, but whatever, dude. You got to.
Yeah. I don't know.
He can rush inside. Man. He's a good run defender. He can rush inside.
It's got to be a fit, man. It's got to fit the locker room. And it's got to, you know, if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. I don't know, man.
Chances you use that voice the rest of the podcast?
Very low.
Okay, we got to touch on the free agent moves before we get. I know you guys have been following along. And you know that we are doing this March Madness NFL draft thing that's been a lot of fun. I think you guys have really enjoyed it from the feedback that we've gotten so far. But we've kind of gone. We went through 32. We started with on Monday 32 players, and now we're down to the final eight going through them bracket style. And we've got you guys voting on a couple of the matchups that we were in disagreement on. And we will have those results for you as well. But before we get to all that and we get to the Elite Eight, Trev, the NFL draft picture is changing because of the free agent moves. We've got to touch on at least some of these today, and we'll hit them heavy next week. That'll be the focus of our show. But the Broncos landing Case Keenum, the Cardinals landing Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon, the Jets landing Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown. Does this change the court in the Browns landing Tyrod Taylor? We'll throw in there too. Does this change the quarterback outlook for any of these teams? Are they all still going for a quarterback in the first round?
Which ones did you name?
The Broncos, the Jets, the Cardinals, the Browns. I mean, I think we know the Browns.
All right, can we talk about the Cardinals really quick? Because I got a rant about this.
Yeah, this is pretty insane. Go ahead.
How the hell is Sam Bradford still getting deals?
A 1 year, $20 million,
dude.
Like, for nothing.
If you want to sign Sam Bradford to like a 10 year deal, or like a even like a $10 million deal, just because you want to have him on the roster, okay. But they signed this guy to a 1 year, $20 million deal with a team option for another $20 million next year. Guy has a degenerative knee condition.
The irony of Sam Bradford going to Arizona, where the offensive line is horrendous and where they've put quarterbacks on injured reserve season. He might not make it, dude.
This, like, Bradford, the government may have to. So many people told me, oh, when healthy. He can't play.
The FBI is going to have to intervene and go to Arizona and remove this man from
Arizona,
behind that offensive line.
I remember, who is their new head coach?
Their new head coach is Steve Wilks.
Yes. Okay. So Wilkes at the combine was saying, basically, like, looked at, straight at the camera and basically said, we're going to be aggressive in free agency.
He looked at the camera.
He basically, like, looked straight at the camera.
He looked at the camera and then he signed Sam Bradford.
And he said that they were going to be aggressive, and then they signed Sam Bradford to a $20 million deal.
Super aggressive and overpaying for a quarterback that's washed and nobody wants.
John, and then they're going to sign Mike Glennon.
The giraffe. Mike Glennon. It's unreal.
Dude, I can't. I can't. You know who else makes $20 million a year? You want to know what other quarterbacks make $20 million a year? I'll give them to you. I'll give it to you. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give them to you. Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Tom Brady.
And now Kirk. Soon.
Well,
Kirk.
I mean, I literally meant 20 like, million. Like, not more. Not 20 million or more. I'm literally saying, guess which quarterbacks make the same amount of money as Sam Bradford.
Could not be my team signing such an atrocity. Could not be.
Well, other than the Cardinals, yeah, it's been fun.
I don't know whether the Cardinals take a quarterback in the first round. I don't know what that organization's doing. If you look across the NFC, every team has a plan at quarterback except for the Cardinals. I don't know what the heck the Cardinals are doing. And like, if you're going to sign a bridge quarterback, sign one. Sign Glennon to be your bridge quarterback. You're going to
If you're going to sign a bridge quarterback, sign the one with the word bridge in his name.
Or that, which the Jets.
Bridgewater. Do.
Well, here's what I'm confused about with the Jets. Bridgewater isn't a bridge quarterback. He's like a guy that could be your franchise quarterback still if he's healthy, if he's good to go. Now they signed him on a one-year deal. McCown's there on a one-year deal. It's like McCown's the bridge for Bridgewater, who could be the bridge for the first-round pick that they're taking. Like, I don't know why you need two of these guys.
Teams can't say no to Josh McCown. He is like
good last year. He was legitimately good.
He is such a good dude.
I'd rather have McCown than Bradford.
Like, teams cannot say no to him. So,
but why that him also and Bridgewater? I don't understand. Like, unless the Jets are going quarterback.
I don't know. I wish I did, because people get paid millions of dollars to ruin NFL franchises. And I wish it was me. That's all I'm saying. Like, I wish that I didn't have to do this stupid podcast anymore. I'm just kidding. And I could instead ruin an NFL franchise.
The heat today.
Because instead, I'm just tweeting about it.
Yeah, you're just ripping the Cardinals to shreds. But here's what I don't get is, and maybe this is just part of me wanting to see Teddy go somewhere where he actually is going to get a shot. I still feel like the Jets are taking a quarterback in the first round. Maybe I end up being wrong, and maybe Bridgewater really does get a legit shot here. But like, I don't see Bridgewater as a bridge quarterback. So I'm not really sure what's going on with the Jets. Because, yeah, I just don't get it. And you're paying McCown, what, $10 million this year to be your third-string quarterback? Like, I'm just not sure where they're going with this. And McCown, I know the offense will tweak a little bit, but he was really good last year in that offense. And I don't know if Bridgewater beats him out. I don't. And then if you have a rookie that it's getting a, you know, you're taking a number six or higher if you move up, you know, what do you, I just, you know, Bridgewater becomes your third guy, then why'd you sign him? Because this isn't. Like, it's not like a guy that you like, oh, he's going to be a great backup for us. Like, if Bridgewater's either the guy somewhere or he can't play anymore, like, I don't know that there's a whole lot in between. He's either back and he's 100% healthy, in which case, why isn't he your starter? Or, you know, he can't play in the league anymore. You know, I don't really know why there's an in between with him. It's confusing to me. I don't really understand the Jets. Not that I think it's a horrible move, I just don't get it. And we probably won't get it until after the draft. We'll see what they do. But if they're like aggressive for a quarterback in the draft, I'm not really sure why you spend money on two guys. I mean, I know you don't – their quarterback room is – so does this mean Hackenberg's done, right? Like, he's just getting cut, right?
He has to.
I mean, I don't know what else you do. I mean, they literally spent a second-round pick on Christian Hackenberg and never let him see the field in an NFL game. I don't know how that isn't a fireable offense. For everyone involved. I don't have any idea how that's not a fireable offense. It's insane to me. How do you never let him see the field? I think he's horrible. I think he's terrible. I think it was a terrible draft pick. But you're going to cut him without ever having figured out what he is. Or ever having seen him in a game. I mean, you would have to be literally the worst quarterback of all time in practice. All time. Like, civilian level accuracy in order to never see the field for the Jets quarterback room. That's what you're asking me to believe, that he was that horrendous. I don't know how else you justify it. It's insane. Broncos signed Case Keenum. They still going quarterback in the first round? We haven't seen the terms on that deal yet, I don't think. Have we? I don't believe so.
No, I don't think they're – well, I mean, I think it was 2 years, $18 million for Keenum. Is that who we're talking about, right?
Was it 2 years, $18 million? Oh, it did. Oh, that's right. The terms did come out.
Which is a super low deal.
Yeah, that's
like Sam Bradford.
So they're definitely in quarterback.
If those are the numbers. So yeah, I think they're still in the quarterback market. Yeah. I think they're going to be pretty aggressive for it. Elway said he was going to be pretty aggressive. So
he's at Baker's pro day today. That's his guy, I think.
Yeah,
if I'm guessing today,
I'm with you too. I think if Baker gets to five, I think he's drafting Mayfield.
Yeah, and I think he will get to five. If I'm guessing today, Cleveland's locked in on Darnold. Denver's locking in. I think they're still intrigued by Rosen, but I think he's locking in on Baker. I don't know where Rosen goes. That's a wild card to me. Because if the Giants pass on quarterback, if the Bills trade up, the rumor is that Josh Allen's the apple of their eye. What if the Bills finally make the playoffs after all these years?
Just to draft Josh Allen.
Yeah, they get all these draft resources. They got like five picks in the top 65. They're up to 12. Their tackle situation's still good. You know, they're up to 12 now. They still got 22. Like, they have all this ammunition. You know, they got, well, I think, two picks in the third, one in the early second. Like, you know, this team is ready to make moves. And they're going to give up those assets to move up in the draft to draft Josh Allen with Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield on the board. It'd be peak Bills. Peak Bills. Be phenomenal. We'll talk about the rest of these moves as we move forward. There's a ton of other moves. I know you guys are anxious to hear our thoughts on them. We will get to them. It'll be a good time. We got to get to the brackets.
We'll be able to discuss it a lot more tomorrow, obviously, because people will actually be signed tomorrow.
Right.
So like, we will see the real contract info and all that stuff, because obviously right now, yeah, we're going off reports and we know where guys are going, but they still got to – ink still got to hit the paper, you know?
Correcto. South bracket. Darius Geis was victorious over Bradley Chubb. And as I predicted, Josh Rosen was victorious over Denzel Ward.
Yeah, yeah.
You wanted to see move on, but the right man moved on. Now you have Josh Rosen and Darius Geis. Ooh.
Who's going to represent the South bracket? I know you're big on both.
The two seed.
You're big on both these guys. Yeah. So.
I am, but Geis is higher on my board by a slight margin, and I think, you know, I've gone this way. I was this way since the summer. Who is my number one prospect coming out of the summer on my board? Number one guy was Darius Geis.
Josh Allen.
No, Darius Geis. But I think I have Quentin Nelson and Roquan Smith, I think, ahead of him on my board, but that's it. I think Darius Geis is that good of a player, and I think that I'm taking him over Josh Rosen to move on.
Yeah. No argument here for me. I like Rosen. I think Rosen's QB1. But
Sure. Sure you do. You wanted to see him get bounced.
What?
You wanted to see him get bounced against Denzel Ward.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, just because he's QB1 did not mean that he was better than CB1, which was Denzel Ward. So I'm with you. I think Darius Geis advances. I think he's the better just pure prospect. If we're, you know, not positional importance, we're not taking that into account. So I'm with you. I think Darius Geis is the guy to move on, and he will represent the South bracket in the Final Four, which we're doing tomorrow.
Roquan Smith, Minka Fitzpatrick in the West bracket. Roquan was victorious over Lamar Jackson. Minka Fitzpatrick victorious over Vita Vey. I feel like this bracket has kind of been how I expected it to be, the one and the two seeds. Pretty much chalk across the board in terms of guys who moved on. We had the 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds move on and meet in the Sweet 16. Then now we've got the 1 and the 2 seeds. And to me, the 1 seed moves on. I think Roquan's, like I said, I mean, he's one of the best players in this class. And, you know, I think that I'm taking him over Minka Fitzpatrick. As much as I love Minka, and I think Minka's a phenomenal football player, and I'm super excited about what he can do in the NFL, I'm taking Roquan to move on. You're thinking, and that's always dangerous.
I like Minka Fitzpatrick a lot.
You're torn.
I think Minka We've said this kind of every round we've talked about him. Certainly one of the most versatile players in the entire draft. He's a guy who I think could almost play every single position that you would ask of a defensive back, and also play at a really high level. Some he's going to play. I think he could play at obviously a Pro Bowl level. Mm-hmm. But Roquan Smith is better. Yes. If Minka had tested and just been a little bit more athletic, this is so nitpicky, but we're obviously talking about two of the best prospects in this draft. Mm-hmm. If Minka would have shown up and been more of, say, like a freak athlete, had some super rare explosion in his body, I think I might have been picking Minka. But
what? Because his jumps weren't that great, you mean?
Well, I mean, I think that Minka is a good. Yeah,
He's pretty explosive on tape. I think he's more explosive than Derwin on tape.
Sounding like an incredible, because somebody's going to call me out for this.
Yeah, probably. But, he was in the 17th percentile for his vertical jump.
Yeah, I guess that's basically what I'm saying. If I thought Minka was an even better athlete, I'd be picking him over Roquan. But I think Roquan is, I think the range that Roquan has, I think his strength that he has, I think the instincts that he has, he is every bit there as much as Minka is. He just does it at a bigger weight, at a different position. And I think he's a better athlete because of it. So there you go.
All right. Both in agreement there. Here's the tough one. Quentin Nelson or Baker Mayfield? For me, Nelson's higher on my board.
Tough for me.
Really? You're going Baker?
No.
No.
I'm going Quentin Nelson.
All right. Okay. All right. That wasn't as tough as I thought it would be. I thought it might be. So we got another one seed moving on in the East. I just finished Quentin Nelson's evaluation, by the way.
And
it's not like the dude never makes a mistake, but his positive plays are so ridiculously positive. It's like I've never seen like higher highs for an offensive lineman that I've been scouting. He just literally just thrashes people at that level. It's like every game. It's not like once or twice a game. It's like almost every single drive. He like has some play where you're just like, what the, you know? And like there's times he gets like overextended and falls off contact, and you know, guys can get to his edge in pass pro because his base is so wide. So it's, you know, we don't even talk about any weaknesses with Quentin Nelson. But I mean, he's the best player in this class, so that's probably why. But he'll get beat once or twice in pass protection as a rookie, no question. But
I mean, it's a game of football. Everybody does.
But his positives are just, I mean, like the things he gives you schematically, like he's so explosive out of his stance. He can run outside zone. He can run inside zone. He's unbelievable as a puller. I mean, there's just like no limitations to what he gives you schematically. He's your feature blocker right away. Whatever offense you run, he can do it all. And he's super smart. He adjusts on the fly as players move on defense. Like, he's awesome. He's fun to watch.
I think this one is actually pretty interesting. This last one, this north bracket.
We
got Saquon Barkley versus Derwin James. Two obvious freak athlete players. But both have some flaws in their tape. I think Derwin James was misplayed a good amount of the 2017 season. And because of that, he's got some really confusing tape at times, just the way that they played him and the positions that they put him in. And I think the results of some of the plays, you watch it, he doesn't have the instincts where he needs to. Sometimes he misses a tackle on something, you know, this and that. It's almost like they're just kind of like letting him loose, and sometimes you wonder what he's doing. And so but obviously went to the combine, was an absolute freak athlete, very rare there. And then Saquon Barkley too, same thing. One of the best athletes we've seen at the running back position, home run hitter, probably the best home run hitter out of the backfield in college football all season. But how much does he use that giant frame of his? Right. How is he going to do through contact? Because between the tackles matters a lot in the NFL, and Saquon has some of the best tape, you know, I've ever seen of outside the tackles. But how often does that happen in the NFL? Not a lot. And so we're talking about just pure prospects. That kind of makes a big deal. Saquon versus Derwin, who you got?
I got Saquon. I do. And I know I've been a little bit more down on Saquon than most people, but I think he is still an awesome talent. And again, still one of the top players on my board. That's kind of been lost in all this, and I knew that it would be. But I think he's a really, really good football player. I think Derwin's a good football player too. He's just going to be a little bit lower on my board. I think that Derwin is going to, you know, I wish kind of that I could see Derwin in a single high type of role, but I don't right now. You know, when I watch him on tape, even when Florida State has him play on the back end, I see a guy that's much better, closer to line of scrimmage. Similarly to Minka Fitzpatrick, I think he's really good in man coverage. I honestly think Derwin might be able to play cornerback on the outside too. You know, he plays it in the slot and he is locked down. I mean, he just eats guys up in man coverage. But I think that at the same time, you look for big impact, rare impact type players in the first round. And I think Derwin's still a very strong impact type player, but you know, you're looking for guys that can play some single high role and create a lot of turnovers in the back end and things like that. And I'm not sure that that's Derwin, just like I'm not sure that it's Minka completely, you know, as much as I love them and love the roles that they play. So in both have flash ball skills. I think they will make plays. I just don't know if it's it's not like Malik Hooker level impact. You know what I mean? And guys like that I saw have those kind of special closings. So both really good players, Minka and Derwin, but I think Barkley is going to be higher on my board.
You know what?
That's 3-1 just seeds that moved on. Oh, wait, are you...
Just because I want to see this go to Twitter.
You're going with Derwin.
I'm going to say Derwin James, because I honestly... This is close for me, and I really want to see what the people would think about this. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are people who stand for Barkley really hard, and I think there are people who stand for Derwin James really hard. And so I would love to hear who the majority think the better prospect is, who they would have higher in their board, who they think the better overall football player is between Derwin James and Saquon Barkley. So I'm going to take Derwin, and I'm going to put this to Twitter, because I just really want to see how it goes.
Okay.
So for the final one seed, we're going to have to have Twitter decide.
All right, Derwin, Saquon. We could have 3-1 seeds moving on, and Darius Geist, the lone 4 seed, moving on. That's what it could shake out to, or Derwin could move on. We'll see how the people lay down their vote. We'll talk a little bit more on free agency stuff. We'll talk Final Four, and then the championship game we got tomorrow too, between the top 2 prospects in the class. And Fan Friday is just around the corner as well. And I'll be putting out a query for your questions tonight, because we're going to record
it
early.
Wow, good word.
Great word usage. My vocab's up. I'm in tournament shape, man. I'm ready. We got to talk about our brackets at some point, too. Maybe we'll slip that in tomorrow's show. You do a bracket, right?
Do I do a bracket?
You taking Florida? Sure. Away? Listen, I'm just saying,
I've already
the
got
Bonnies
the wing.
Looked
I've already
pretty
got the
good
wing
last night.
On reservation.
The Bonnies looked pretty good last night. I think you're a little shook.
Oh, they're totally beating Florida.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
Florida's not good.
Florida chucks threes, right?
Yeah, which, I mean, like, my sons. I mean, that's like my entire
that's
basketball
your
philosophy right. Is just chuck threes. But
get money.
I mean, Florida's pretty soft down low. So
yeah. Well, you remember the Patrick Young days, right, for Florida?
I remember what? Long,
the Patrick Young days.
So I actually covered that team.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when that was team. That what before they go to, like, the Elite Eight or
before
something?
Before I got into football, I covered that team.
Huh. But they go to the Elite Eight?
They went to the Final Four.
Final Four, that's right. Yeah, they had a good season. My wife and I, we always pick a team every year that we're going to cheer. Like, I'm a Duke fan. She's a UNC fan, so we have that divides us in our marriage all the time. But we always pick a team, like, just a neutral to a new team every year. We, like, go through the bracket and we decide on a team. So tonight we'll pick one probably.
Okay. Who is it this year?
We're not sure. Well, I'll tell you tomorrow, but we pick one every year and we'll decide tonight. We've got to narrow down to a couple. The Bonnies are one of them. The Bonnies are one of them.
Mine's Houston.
Oh, Houston. Okay. That's random. But
Houston's got a dude who's a guard, who's got a man bun and a shooter sleeve. Oh, well, so it's, you know, basically,
yeah,
you know, who I wish I could have grown up to be.
A large percentage of picking that team is honestly having seen them and see the players, like, because the look is huge. Remember Xavier a couple years ago when they had that? Who was that big dude down low with the Rex Becks and Stainbrook, Matt Stainbrook,
you know,
or something?
I had no idea.
You don't remember him? They went far with him. He was like an Uber driver. He gave up a scholarship so his brother could go to school because he didn't have the athletic scholarship. Like, it was a cool story. I can't believe you don't remember that. But anyway, that Florida team that year with Patrick Young, who else were the other guys on that team? Who was that point guard?
Scotty Wilbekin.
Yeah, that team was good. That team was fun. That was the team that Britt and I had picked. So we were diehard Florida fans for a short amount of time.
Our
Florida Gators, who are going to lose to the Bonnies. Anyway, we'll talk more bracket. We'll talk more NFL draft bracket. We'll talk free agency, all that kind of stuff tomorrow. And then Fan Friday, of course, where we answer all your questions. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.